I wanted to finish what we were doing before Hanukkah. So I think, I hope you have the photo stat from that time.
Kovitz?
Yeah. The Kovitz Dalit, and from the Urus HaKovitz, yes. Photo stat on that page. None of this mentions the word of Hanukkah. It's all negate to what we're learning, but I didn't want to stop in the middle. So Shmoni Kibbutzim, Kovitz Dalit, and Urus HaKodesh. We're learning, I think it's on the bottom of the photo study, right? That's where we started? Yeah. No, I don't know.
No, the top.
Oh, it's on the top? Yeah. Okay, good. The Kibbutzim's on the top. Fine. Yeah.
Said a few lines.
We did a little bit of it.
Yeah.
You're talking a lot about this, so let's just read, actually just like 6-7 lines from the bottom, and a little bit past the middle, but let's just go through quickly. Let's read through it quickly, without really explaining the beginning. We spoke about it a lot. And then we'll finish this and do the piece on the bottom from Urus HaKodesh. We were talking about the difference between Chochmas Chitzonis, Chochma that's the Chochma of Yafes, the Chochma of the world, a secular Chochma, as opposed to the Chochma, the Or of Torah. This is the difference between Nishmas Umas Ha'ilam, the soul of the nations of the world, and Nishmas Yisrael. So let's just go quickly to review in the Kibbutzim, the fourth Kovitz, Kuf Tezayin, Ad Eis Keitz L'Yamot Shum Am Loshna Raz Muflaza, till the end, no nation will be able to understand this great mystery. Shalahevdel Atzim Yishabin Yisrael Am Kulav. The essential difference between Yisrael and the nations of the world, ben nishmas ha'adam, the gviyas adam, between the soul and the guf. The difference between Am Yisrael and the nations of the world is the difference between the neshama and the guf. V'ahevdel azil choydem e'ahekif ha'klali ala pratam kulam. This goes, this difference between the neshama and the guf, between Yisrael and the nations of the world, this penetrates from all the way from the biggest, most general level, all the way down to all the pratim, but prati pratim al isham echidim and individuals al gdoilim, laktanim al gairal chayayim, haklolin, al kol tnuam mitnuayseim, every single thing in life, and he spoke about. Adle chalokim hayyosa kalim vedakim, ein kaiten begoidl. There is nothing small, insignificant, or unimportant in the world of godless. Nishmas Yisrael, neshama yetzeresi. Nishmas Yisrael, the soul of Yisrael, is by nature, by definition. It's pnimis, it's creative. It is seeking always to understand the essence, the meaning and the nature of life, to uplift and to change life, not just to portray life. Lorak mitzayeres, we spoke a lot about that. Lorak mitzayer, it's not only to try to capture or to picture or to portray life, but to change life, to uplift life, since it's a Teres Chaim. Chochmas Chitzaynis is of Yaftalakim the Yafes. It doesn't have a Nishmas Chaim. It's not from the world of the Nishamas, it's from the world of the Guf. And the world of the Guf can only try to copy, to imitate, to understand what it sees with its eyes. It doesn't have a Nishmas Chaim. It's not a living, breathing organism. Nishmas Yisrael is alive through the Dveikus B'Elokim Chaim. Nishama Elokis Asher Or Elokim Chai B'Kirba. Nishama Elokis Asher Or Elokim Chai B'Kirba. With a godly soul. Asher Or Elokim Chai V'Kibbo, the light of Hashem that lives within it. Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. That if Am Yisrael is called Elokim Atem, or called by such a word, that Elokus Uvnei Elyon Kulchem, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem, Nishmas Kol Amim Hirak Mitzayeres Mitzaderes Oyitzeres Mitzatachas. The neshama of the nations can only try to paint, to put into order, to dissect, to try to understand, to gather together the facts that it sees before its eyes. Loi ke'ela halak Yaakov, chelak Yaakov, ki yoitza hakolhu. V'Yisrael shevet nachlos, Hashem tzavokas, shemai v'lenikra, kadosh baruch hu tzavokas, kim al shem Yisrael, shem tzivais Hashem, that were called by Hashem's name, and with the tzivas Hashem. Therefore, this is really where we're up to. Ein li Yisrael symbolim. Therefore, we don't have any symbols. We began to talk about that last time. We don't have, our mitzvahs are not symbols. Tefillin is not a symbol of freedom. The sukkah is not a symbol of Hashvaas Hashchina, of the Anani HaKavod. What's a symbol? It says, Ein li Yisrael symbolim. Shemak goyme machshava v'regesh. The purpose of a symbol, it's very important for us to understand this, because it's a very, very big mistake that people make. The purpose of a symbol is that it creates an association for a person to be able to look at that, and that since it symbolizes something, so then you remember it. So you look at the flag of America, and you look at the stars, and it symbolizes the colonies and the states, and reminds you of being in a democratic country and how the country was founded and so on, and to appreciate and cool. So the whole union of a symbol is the cause. It's not, it itself doesn't have any inherent value. What does it mean that somebody sat down and had made such a flag? A picture, or you see a painting, or you see something, it's a symbol of something. And the tachlis of that symbol is that you associate that over time, you associate that with certain thoughts and certain emotions, and it causes a person to think about and to have certain feelings about something. But in itself is nothing. What is it? It's the same thing. The words in English, or in any language, they're symbols of something. What does it mean? Table. So when you see those letters, T-A-B-L-E, so that is a symbol of, the thing that we eat on. Language is a fascinating collection of symbols. There's a guy that's working in a house now. Not the plumber, this other guy. So, he's a wonderful Spanish person. He's a very religious person. So he likes to talk about religion. So, he sees a lot of Sarama there. And he tells me that he would like to study this. I said, it's not in English. These are all in Hebrew. So he told me that his brother and him, that they're studying Hebrew for over a year. They want to learn Hebrew. I said, what do you want to study Hebrew? He says, because that's the language they speak in heaven. And he wants to be able to know that language that they speak in heaven. It's an interesting hargosha that a person has. But it's true. It's true. I mean, the languages of the world are symbols of something. They're symbols. Mashenikin Lashna Kaidish. Lashna Kaidish is what it is. Meaning that's what it is. The Shin Lam Chesnun Shulchan, those Oisiyas together create that Metzius. That's what the Metzius is. That's what it means. Ein Yisrael Symbolim. Shemra Gormei Machshavir Regesh. So in other languages, you look at those letters, those words, and their associations with certain things, and over time, how languages develop, so then you associate those letters with that thing, But that thing has nothing to do with those letters. There's no relationship between those letters and that thing. The letters are just symbols. And so it is with everything else. They're symbols. Ain't yisel symbolim. Shema goy me machshav v'regesh. Ke mitzvahs v'tayros. Mitzvahs v'tayros. What are mitzvahs and tayros? Dvarim chayim v'kayom. There's no way to explain that. If a person doesn't feel that or believe in that, then the ikur is chasav and hasefer, then this whole Yiddishkeit is. There were Jewish thinkers who believed that even without emuna, a Jew should continue to observe, mitzvahs. Why? What's the tachlis of keeping Shabbos without the Baruch Shalom? So, because Shabbos is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous symbol of many, many good things. And the world is immoral, the world is empty, and these symbols can help a person live a better life. Not that there's any pnimius in them, but it can help a person live a better life. I'm sure that many of you know that there's a tremendous amount of controversy regarding the whole inyan of Tamei HaMitzvos, which I've spoken about a little bit in the past. But the morale was so much connected, the whole inyan of Tamei HaMitzvos, that we see that there are certain mechabrim, great tzaddikim, they wrote svarim on Tamei HaMitzvos to explain reasons for mitzvos. And even with that, there was a very big hisnagdus by many of the tzaddikim and the mukubalim, because it's easy for a person to, when he reads one of these svarim, that it says, you know, different Tamei HaMitzvos, the reason for this is this, the reason for that is that, to begin to actually think that it's not the mitzvah be'etzem that's a living, breathing mitzvah, but it's only that we make this connection that Yagiyu Rachamecha Ha'im Al Kan Sipa Yagiyu Rachamecha. But to say that, look, you have to send out the bird from the nest, that the Baruch Shalom has such rachmanis, he's so nice that even a little bird he's worried about. So Chazal themselves were very concerned. How would a person think? What kind of a mistake can a person make by thinking that the inyan of Shiloh HaKain, that the whole inyan of that sending away of the mother bird is because it's Rachmanis? And the tzaddikim will explain, not to say that there's an inyan of Hizgalus Rachman Hashem, and that is, of course there's an inyan of Rachmanis. But that's not the chiyus of the mitzvah, that Hashem feels bad for birds. So you could ask a kasha, how come you have to send away this one, send away that one? Stavki here. What is the inyan of a tzipa, the pnimius of what does it mean, the bird, and what's the nest, and what are the eggs, and so on? It's chayv kaim, it's something which is alive, it's not a symbol of something. So you could say it's a symbol. Pesach is a symbol of man's yearning for freedom. And the matzah, most people that sit down to a seder, they think that they're eating symbols, and they're drinking symbols. It's all a symbol, the bread of our poverty. This is a symbol of being enslaved and then being free and so on. And you could become very confused even from the lashonis of the Haggadah and from the other svarim. That's why I explained by Chanukah that it's the meaning of Haneiros Halalu Kodesh. Haneiros Halalu Kodesh. These are not candles that we light to remember a symbol of the temple. Haneiros Halalu Kodesh. A guy can't understand. It's totally, totally outside of the way that a guy could possibly think. That everything is only symbols. Kim Torah, Mitzvah Satorah, Dvarim Chayim Mekayomim. Chayim Mekayomim. Ne'monim v'nechmodim. La'ad u'la'ol me'alomim. Ne'monim v'nechmodim. The Torah, as the Tanya explains, the Torah is Mishtal Shalas, the Torah descended from the highest, highest place. The Torah descended. Divrei Torah en mekabel tumah. Meaning that no matter what the Torah goes through, no matter how many worlds it passes through, no matter what it is in this world, no matter how it's taken and mistreated and misused and misinterpreted and abused, divrei Torah ein mekabel tuma. Because the Torah hasn't changed. That Torah has not changed. It's only that the Torah, you know, it's that Torah that's before the world and higher than creation is the same Torah. It's only that the histalsis of the Torah is into the cloth, into the parchment of the Sefer Torah, and into the straps of the tilma and so on. But the Torah is divrei Torah ein mekabel tuma. Normally, you take something through a place that's polluted and dirty, so it gets dirty. You put something into a room where it's dirty, so in the air, so it gets dirty. No matter what this world is like, the Torah hasn't gotten dirty. So the Torah hasn't been affected by the world. The Torah changes the world, but the Torah is not changed by the world. People try to do whatever they make the Torah whatever they want. But the Torah be'etzim is the same Torah, just like Ani Hashem Leishinisi. Vatamini B'nei Yaakov and the Jewish people are the same, the etzim of a Jew is the same. Whatever he passes through, whatever he's been through, whatever happened to him down here in this world, but the etzim of a person hasn't changed that, like the Torah and Kutcher Brichu, it's unchanging. Because the etzim is alive, and it's nemodim v'nechmodim la'adul ol me'alaman. Alive and faithful, meaning forever and ever. Forever and ever. And that's what Torah Mitzvah saw. Kulalosam klala brachosam brach. Therefore the curse, the klala of Am Yisrael to our enemies, it's not a symbol of our hate, it's be'etzim a curse. And our brachas are not just a symbol of appreciation, it's be'etzim. And when the light of Hashem will be revealed. And from Yerushalayim there will be a new light that will illuminate the ends of the world, all of creation. Yavinu kol hagoyim, all the nations will understand. Ki lo yitochim lihidamais levnei kel chai biskulosam ha'atzmis. It is impossible for them in any way to compare to levnei kel chai, the children of the living God, biskulosam ha'atzmis, with that koyach ha'atzmis, etzim of a Jew. It's not possible. Aval oisha godol yia ozl anoishius, but there'll be great oisha, there'll be tremendous joy le'anoishius, to all mankind. A kamash etuchal l'chakaisis or oilam zeh, just in being able to imitate, to impersonate this light of the world. Which the religions have done throughout history, it's accepted until that Gilui Kvei Shemayim, it's mixed in with all kinds of strange things. But we understand that Islam is an imitation of Yiddishkeit, and Christianity is an imitation of Yiddishkeit. And even Avodah Zarah in its Shoyrish is that Inyan. So the joy of the nations of the world at the end of time will be in their lives, painting portraits of Yiddishkeit. But that's the best they could do. Even Mashiach comes is to imitate, to impersonate. Oy vavoy lanu, if our Yiddishkeit is just an impersonation, an imitation. Like the Satmar of Shusi, when he said when he gave reshus to the person to imitate him by a chasna, to make a batchanis, and to imitate how he started to cry like the Rebbe Davins, and Rosh Hashanah Kippur start to imitate the Satmar Rebbe and to daven like him, that whole way that he davened. And the Satmar Rebbe at the beginning he was smiling, and all of a sudden he started to cry, and everything stopped, and the man went over, the Badchan went over to the Satmar Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I'm sorry, the Rebbe gave a shus, I never would have done it. And the Rebbe says, no, it's fine what you did, except I see you saw me daven a few times and you do a perfect imitation. I know I'm davening my whole life, so maybe I'm just imitating myself. Maybe I only davened a few times myself and I'm just imitating myself. The rest of my life has just been an imitation of those few times that I davened sincerely. That's a scary thought. But the Rebbe wasn't like that. And he was worried about that. It's not always like that. We don't worry about such things. But to imitate, to draw pictures of what it looks like when a Jew davens. Like if anybody would take a picture of me or you when we're davening, and they would put it into the museum, and they'd make it nice with a nice frame, right? And it'd be a good photographer with a certain, like in a nice black and white, and it looks choshev with a nice frame. Me or you, this morning. They'd have that in the museum, and the people would look by, and they'd have some nice title for it, A Jew at Prayer, and then everybody would look at it and say, wow. Look at that. But you and I know that it was no big deal. I mean, I shouldn't say it to you, but it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And it could be like, and they go to the museum, everybody's looking, they're all excited about this in the museum. It could be you were thinking about breakfast or something. Whatever. But each person's your day, Maris Nafsho, where his mind drifts. But when it's put into a painting, it looks like it's a Choshev thing. Jew at Prayer. And if the sun is coming in through the window, and you're standing next to the window, and you're looking to the Siddur, you could be thinking, I can't believe I got here too early today. I meant to come after Baruch. I don't know what happened. The guy started late or something. That's what you're thinking about. But you're by the window, and you're looking, and the sun's coming on your face, and a thousand people go past us, it says Jew at Prayer. There's, wow, there's a whole distraction from this picture, the Jew at Prayer. It was nothing for nothing. A Jew at Prayer. It could have been Jew at Tennis also within the Jew at Prayer. So, but you understand the chiluk. The best, when Mashiach comes, the best that the nations of the world can do is they don't have a Nishmas Chayim. They're not B'nei Kel Chai. They can't have a connection to Devar Elokim Chayim. It's all pictures. So they'll be able to imitate. It's just the same way that Christianity has tried to imitate, very, very inaccurate, but has tried to impersonate Yiddishkeit. But that's all it can do. And still with that, there'll be great joy at the end of time. At kam shetucha l'chakais, l'chakais means to impersonate, to imitate. As or olam zeh, to make paintings. Of the Ur Olam, of the light of the world, to take pictures, to make paintings, and to try to live a good life. Using those paintings and pictures of the truth as what? As symbols. As symbols. Just like you have in front of a big courtroom, there'll be something like the scales, you know, of judgment. Whenever you go through those things, you know that this is going to be the biggest shekel when you walk into it. If you see scales of justice or something like that, you know that this is all shekel. The people who made it, maybe, you know, they intended it should be good, and sometimes a little bit there's truth. But you look at the scales, and then it reminds you, Take should be more honest. Everything is being weighed in heaven, something like that. But if the world takes it seriously, in other words, if people would go to the courthouse and they look up and they see the symbol, they see the scales over there, or like the, what's it called, the thing, the hammer is a special word, the gavel, they'd see the gavel of the judge, and they must take it seriously, and it would be a world of truth, then when the guy would walk over there, he'd see that, he would say, "Ooh, I'm going to tell the truth in this building. Even though I have problems sometimes outside, but in this building, I'm going to tell the truth." Why? Because the symbol of truth, the gavel, the scales, these symbols were ma'ir in him, a machshave, and a rotzen, to be honest. That's under the best circumstances, that's the best that the Ummah Sa'ilim can do. That's the best, 1 second, that's the best. And that itself would be a big accomplishment. That's what's going to be like when Mashiach comes. The symbol is ma'ir machshave. It's ma'ir hargosha of wanting to be honest, of wanting the truth. That's a choshev thing. But that's it. That's the best it could be. But it's not alive. It's a symbol, and a symbol is a reminder. But that itself will bring great joy to the world when Mashiach comes. The pictures, the symbols, that will bring man to live a better life and an honest life and a true life. That itself will be a tremendous oyshur in the world when Mashiach comes. Aval oyshur goli ya'ozla noyshiyas ad kama shetuch lachakis orelam zeh es ma'ayan chayim zeh, to imitate, again, to picture the wellspring of life. It's interesting. The Goyim also like to have, they're people that are more people of appreciation for art and for history. Even the Yimach Shemab, even by the Germans, they had a certain, there were many of them that had a very big appreciation for Jewish art and for music and so on. And they like to have paintings. And they collected these things. The Nazis and Mashmah collected these things. It wasn't just because of the money. They had a certain appreciation for it. It's hard to understand. Not for Jews who are alive, but for Jews who are dead. But the symbols of something. They're going to try to catch drops, like little drops, of the rivers of the truth of Yiddishkeit. That's what's going to be when Mashiach comes in the world. As the Navi says, that many nations are going to try to join. They're going to come along. The word Nachal is a river, but also means a flowing river, but also means multitudes and throngs of people coming to. In other words, Am Yisrael is compared to a great, powerful, flowing river, and the nations of the world are going to try to have drops from the river to enjoy, and with that they'll have tremendous Aisha, tremendous Simcha. Haskal Bosom the Hashem Kinar Mimon Kodsha. Hashem Be'echol Kodsha. Hashem Pon of Kolaris, like it says in Yichavakut, that the whole world will stand in great, great bewilderment and great awe before Hashem and before Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim. Just with the picture of truth. As far as Am Yisrael is concerned, it's truth itself. And before we go to Erez HaKadosh, Binyam, you want to say something?
How that stems, it seems like there's an example, Mahavdil, where they have something that they don't do as a symbol, but as a reality, in the Catholic, the doctrine of transubstantiation regarding the wafer and the wine.
Also, yeah.
They view that that's not a symbol of the body or a symbol of the blood, but Mahavdil.
Just because they say that.
You would just say that they don't really believe it.
I was thinking about that too, but I didn't want to say it. I was thinking about that also for a second. It crossed my mind. Because they use such a nusach like this. They use a nusach to say that this is the body of Yisrael.
Very particular that it's not a symbol. It's literal.
Even though they got it on sale in Shoprite. Yeah, no, the fact that they use lashons like that, that's part of the impersonation, that's part of the imitation. Sure, that's part of the imitation. That this is his body, and this is his blood. And the galach puts the body into the person's mouth. Yeah, these are all imitations. These are all impersonations, that's the best known, but you're right. They go out of the way. Ki'ilu, this is itself. Ki'ilu, this is itself. And it's mechaper. In Avodah Zarah, the symbols are more powerful representations. In old fashioned Avodah Zarah, they try to be malbish, which, well, that That's all Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's Avodah Zarah 001. That's 001. I mean, that's something that the Kadmainim were Isaac and these things, eating the God and so on. These are all from the Kadmainim. This is any Christian that would undertake any sort of a even semi-serious study of the origin of these symbols of eating the body of God. That was by the Kadmainim, that was their favorite snack.
Saturn eating.
It's all plain prasta Avodah Zarah. All prasta Avodah Zarah from Greek mythology. What was going on over there with the Sudas. It's prasta Avodah Zarah. That's all it is. But it's embarrassing that they're just symbols. And if it's important to try to elevate something, to make it more than a symbol. But these are all impersonations. These are all imitations. Yes, sir. Matzah zu an oichlem. Yeah.
So, is it could be Mitzrayim, or it's for eating now because we are leaving our own personal Mitzrayim? Is that what we're supposed to be in the temple?
In other words, when we say matzah zu an oichlem al shuma, so we're saying where did the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where does he megala this koyach of matzah to us? He was megala to us as a people by Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though we had already before by Avraham Avinu, but he was megala this. It's in the sherish of creation, the need of matzah. But he was megala this to us in the seid of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that we should understand that what matzah is able to be poil in Nishmas Yisrael is the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like you said today. That inyan Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's poil hayoyin. It's alive. In other words, the matzah is alive. It's not that I'm eating this matzah, that the matzah is a symbol of our ancestors when they left. But you could get confused when you read the language. And sometimes when you read a certain svarim, you could become confused. That ki'ilo is just a way of, it's a way of remembering. It would seem very, very exaggerated that a person should be in such trouble for having even a little bit of chametz over such a thing, over a symbol. Chametz is also. So the Rabbaz says that the pshat of chametz is that it's the Yetzahara. Not that it's a remez. If you see what we have with chametz, it's an inyan, to be worried about everything. Even pirurim, that everybody's nervous about, even more than halacha requires when it comes to chametz. So then a person says, because the Rabbaz means that chametz is a symbol of the Yetzahara. It's a symbol of the Yetzahara. It doesn't say that. Forgive me, you said it incorrectly. It says Ein Mirkri Yaitzeh V'Dik Shuta. The Pasuk, meaning that means that you have to be able to learn Pshat in Pasuk on according to the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Ein Mirkri Yaitzeh V'Dik Shuta. That means that you first have to begin by translating the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. But never, it doesn't mean Chas V'Chalila that's the entire meaning of the Pasuk. It means that's, you have to first teach the Pasuk, and you're not allowed to say that the simple pshat in the Pasuk is this drush, this remez of the site. You have to always be careful, ein mikriyos mikshuta, to say pshat in Pasuk. But the inyan itself, the dover, you said, that's what you said, dover, the dover itself goes way beyond pshuta shemikra, way beyond pshuta shemikra, into oilemus, and the sherish of every mitzvah, the sherish of every mitzvah, idleness. And it's the same thing when it comes to a lav, to something we're not allowed to, like chametz. Right, but you have to try. You could try to begin early to help children think in an abstract way. We have to try as early as possible to develop their way of thinking. But even as adults, I'm saying, people, many from people, they think that the mitzvahs are like the tzitzis, as a symbol of something. They don't see it as something which is alive and it's filled with the Ar Ein Sof Baruch Hu, They just think it's a symbol of something. I mean, I think in a conversation that you could have with many, many Orthodox people, that's how they would respond. Somebody that's a little bit more learned would say, I saw in the Sefer Chinuch it says that this is that the tzitzis remind us of A, B, and C. Like the Tchelis reminds us of the ocean, the Kisei Kavna. So, or I saw in Sham Shavuot Hirsch, that Rav Sham Shavuot Hirsch says that the tzitzis that's about a more learned person. And therefore many, many of the sermons and the speeches revolve around these symbols and so on. And that's what I was talking about a little bit this morning, which doesn't force a person to necessarily change. So they're nice symbols. So the symbols, not chai v'kayim. Nemonim and nechmodim, la'olmi or lamim, which all the kisveri. As I said, eitz chaim, eitz chaim, it's all about how each mitzvah is alive. It's not the matzah from then. Matzah zu. Haneus halalu. It's right now. That's the mitzvahs. Look on the bottom. This is the first Torah in Eiros HaKadosh. Now, of course, Rav Kook was not Mesader Eiros HaKadosh. Mostly that was done by the Nazir. He's a Torahist that he was Mesader Torahs from Rav Kook that he put into the Seder of Eiros HaKadosh. It's the beginning of Eiros HaKadosh, which begins with a section that's called Chochmas HaKadosh. Chochmas HaKadosh. This is what we're talking about. And this is very much connected to what we're learning in Eiros HaTayr. Chochmas HaKadosh HaPoelis. I mentioned the Nazir of David Cohen, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We have some shiurim that were printed from the Nazir that he gave on Eiros HaKadosh. And he was Masada, mostly he was Masada Eiros HaKadosh. He wrote a Hagdama to Eiros HaKadosh. And he also gave shiurim. So far they put out one volume. To my knowledge, there's one volume of shiurim from the Nazir. They're very, very hard. The Nazir is in many places. And the Nazir, in his shiur on the beginning of Eiros HaKadosh, the Nazir explains that in the ancient world there were two basic hashkafas. I'm saying this by way of Hakdama to what we're going to learn now. I'm not sure we should be zeichet to learn the entire Eiros HaKadosh when the time comes, so we'll come back to this in Yitzhak Shem in the future, but just for now. So the Nazir writes, he said in the Shia, they took it, I think, from notes of Talmidim. But he explains that in the ancient world, there are two basic hashkafas. He calls them static and dynamic. Or in Hebrew, statit v'dinamit. That's what those mean. Static and dynamic. And the followers of the philosophy that believed in a static world, the theme of that hashkafa was Mashahaya Hushiyya. What was, will always be. Which means everything is static. The world has always been, the eternity of matter. There always was a world. And that emuna, that belief, in Mashahaya Hushiyya, gave birth to many, many of the Zoras and ideologies and so on. And all the Rishonim fought against that whole Indian of Kadmas Olam. In other words, it's without a creator with a purpose and design and knowledge and so on, without Hashgacha Pratis. Everything is the way that it was created, that's how it is. It's just older. Things deteriorate and die, and so on. But the world itself in existence is static, stuck. The dynamic hashkafa of the universe and of life is the opposite. Everything is libidic. Everything is moving. Everything is constantly in flux. Everything is constantly changing. That, of course, is a belief whose shayrish is in Emunas Yisrael. That we just read the words. Advarav chayim mekayon ne'amodim ne'achmodim la'ad ula olmei olamim. The belief in va'atim echaye es kulam. Va'atim echaye es kulam. And Tanya says, Al tikri mechaye ele mahave. That every single second, Shara Yichud Amunah, every single second, Hashem is mahave from yesh, miyesh, miayin liyesh, from nothing to something. Existence, every single, not second, but milli, every is being brought into creation, and the Baruch Shem is memale, the light of Hashem is memale kalam, nesoy v'kalam. Fills all worlds and surrounds all worlds. This is the aside of the entire Teres HaBaal Shem. Everything has a Nisham. Everything is alive. And the emes is, the truth is that if one looks carefully into Nefesh HaChaim Shar Gimel, it's the same there. The Lashonis are a little bit different, but it's the same, because it's all, the Nefesh HaChaim is written, of course, on the Yesidus of Zohar Kodesh and Kisveri. And this is the world of Rabbi Shemai Chai, it's the world of Pnimis HaTayr. Dynamic. Everything's alive. Chochmas HaKodesh, look inside. Chochmas HaKodesh hi na'ala mikol chochmah. This touches upon things we were looking at the beginning of our satire. Chochmas HaKodesh of Torah is na'ala mikol chochmah. It's higher. It's not just higher. It's totally different. As he explains. It's na'ala mikol chochmah. It's higher than any chacham. Bezeh. And this is the Nakuda. And this is connected to what I was talking a little bit about what we were learning this morning. Remember we were talking about this morning, those who were here, we were talking about this morning how it's possible you could see that where a person is learning Torah, but it doesn't change the person. And a person could be in yeshiva for 3, 4, 10 years, he basically is the same person. A person can be davening the same shul for 40, 50 years, and his Yiddishkeit is the same Yiddishkeit. He's the same small person that he was when he started, or if he's a bigger person, he's the same person. But he hasn't essentially really changed. He hasn't really changed. He's the same person. Thinks the same way. But he's more informed and has different ideas, even though now, as I said, so you could say he's learning more. So as I mentioned this morning, it's a wondrous thing. How is it possible that somebody should listen to thousands of drushes and go to thousands of shiurim and to be unaffected and unchanged? How many of you could say, I'm not going to say something so scary now, don't worry. It sounded like I was going to give this dramatic thing. But how many of us can say that, who over here took high school, studied American history or European history in high school? Everyone, right? Okay. I happen to enjoy it. Especially American history. I love American history. How many of you can honestly say that it changed your life? How about algebra? Anybody study algebra? Yeah. Geometry? I was trying to tiny this when they were teaching it to us. That as a reason why we shouldn't do it. In anticipation of how useless this is all going to be in my life. And I was 100% right. Totally useless. I never met a logarithm since then. I never met one. And I don't know what it meant then. I just did all the work and I did whatever they told me to do and I got the grades and everything was fine, but I don't know what that is. And it certainly hasn't changed my life. And every teacher of every subject is filled with a tremendous amount of importance, self-importance, and they usually begin with some sort of a thing to say that this, what I'm going to tell you now, is the most important thing you've ever studied in your life. Especially if you go like to graduate school or medical school, you get somebody teaching about the mating habits of earthworms in Zimbabwe, and will tell you this is going to change your life. If you happen to be in that place and you're being attacked by such a worm, and you were told that this is what that worm doesn't like, so then you can get rid of it. Maybe it'll affect your life. Otherwise, it's not a life. I don't mean the worm. I mean the chokhmah. It's not a labadika chokhmah. It's not just a matter of relevant or irrelevant. It's not a life. It's not a life. It's all symbols. What's a logarithm? What's a cosine? Now, I know here there are people that are good in math, and you could tell me what the etzem is a cosine, and you'll tell me something along the lines of, oh, if you would study architecture, then you would have an appreciation for what a cosine is, because then you'd be able to build something if you knew what a cosine is. Right now, I could maybe with Play-Doh or blocks, but other than that, I can't build anything. Even that I'm not too good at. So, what's a cosine? All the chokhmas of the world, they're just symbols. They're just pictures and paintings. They don't change a person's rotzen. If Torah is taught without Yiras Shamayim, if Torah is taught in a very shallow way, if Torah is given over as symbols, then it also doesn't change your life. You could go also to the same yeshiva, the same shul. And you could study the Parshas Shavua, Shnayim Mikra Echatagim, your whole life, and you're the same person. That's only because the Torah wasn't given over properly. Now, even if you're the best math teacher, can it change your life? You could decide to be a mathematician. In that way, it could change your life. You liked it so much, and it appeals to you so much. Or you want history. You liked it so much, you decide, you know what, I liked it so much, I want to be a history teacher. And I guess that would be a wonderful, wonderful compliment to any good teacher. If a student comes back 20 years later and says, Mrs. So-and-so, I want you to know, I was so influenced by your history class, I myself am a history teacher. What could be more gratifying to a history teacher than that? To come back and say, you taught history, and I myself am a part of history. I want to thank you for that. That's absurd. You're not a part of history because she taught history. That's ridiculous. There's nothing alive in what she gave you. She taught you history, so you appreciate she was such a great teacher, and you had such a disservice from that, that you went on to become a historian or a history teacher. And for the history teacher, if you go tell her that, there'd be nothing that would make her feel better. That I have students of mine, she could say, I have students of mine who became history teachers. Right? That would be a tremendous, and if you have a staff like that, a faculty like that, then you have a good faculty in college or in school. If you could produce other history teachers from your history department, other mathematicians from your math department, then you're the top. People that have written papers and books because they studied and you influenced them to be good at that and to want that, then you're at the top. And by the measure of success in the world, you can't do better than that. Maskim, isn't that the truth? That's a successful teacher. Any Rebbe, even from first grade, from Cheder, any little Rebbe, for little children, all the way up to the biggest Magid Shir. If all he could say after teaching is that my students know a lot and they want to go on and teach Torah like I've taught, he can consider himself to be a total failure. I shouldn't say total. He's as much of a success as the history teacher. Except the subject was a better subject. What's the tachlis of success for a Rebbe? Neshama zu yetzarati. says in Pasuk, I don't remember where, it says in Pasuk, something along those lines. Did you create, I don't remember the Lashon, I have to look it up. Did you create any neshama? In other words, did you change someone's life? You had people that they were able to write notes and to tape record and to say over and to. Did you change someone's life? Nishmas mi yatzarta, nishmas mi asisa. I have to check the pasuk. Who did you? Did you change somebody's rotzen? Yeah, this person didn't have a rotzen to be a teacher. Now he has a rotzen to be a teacher. It's okay. This person didn't have a rotzen to be a history teacher. Now he has a rotzen to be a history teacher. But how did you change the history of the person? As a person. Look what Rav Kook says. Chochem es ha-kodesh yinale mikol chochem v'zeh shehi mahapeches es ha-rotzen. When you teach Torah, when it's taught, when it's given over the way that it was given to us at Har Sinai, it's mahapeches es ha-rotzen. It turns your kishkas over. It changes your will. It changes your life. It changes your whole rotzen of what you want and who you are. Mahapeches es ha-rotzen v'atchun ha-nafshis shalem deah. The spiritual character of the person, the tchun ha-nafshis shalem deah. Lekarvam, to bring them near, to bring them closer. La'isa ha-roimimus shehi ba'atzim mis'atzemes ba, to that great roimimus that is contained within every word of Torah. Masha'en kein kol ha-chachmes ha-ilomiyus. This is not the case. Masha'en kein. Kol ha-chachmes ha-ilomiyus. All the chachmas of the world. Here he says, like we learned in the Kaivitz, Af al pi shehein mitzayreis in yonim nizgavim yofim va'atzilim, even though they paint and try to portray and to capture very great and exalted and beautiful things, like ancient Greece and modern whatever, they don't have that bepoil, that quality. It doesn't affect that to make you into that image that's being painted or that's being photographed. Mefalis means bekum vaaseh, active. Tchun ha-mefalis is this quality that changes, that affects. The Chochmas Ha'ilamiyos don't have such a kayach. So you might be thinking, whoa, one second. I read a beautiful sonnet from Shakespeare, and I was very moved by it, and it changed my life. No? So let's not talk about math for a second. Math, you know, it's cold. Talk about something like that. I read a beautiful poem. I read a beautiful, beautiful essay, and I thought about this, and it actually changed my life. So, what do you say about that? Isn't that's a good kasha? Why is that any different from Torah? I heard a good shiur, and it changed my life. So I read something unbelievable from Alfred Lord Tennyson, from Robert Browning, a poem, changed my life. I heard a beautiful song, changed my life. What's the nafkah minute? Yeah?
It's still portraying, it's a copy.
It's the same way. You were moved by that symbol. And you were moved by the symbol, and it's something which since you're a thinking person, you're a sensitive person, so you thought about the lyrics of the song, you thought about the lyrics of the poem, and you internalize them, and you decide, I want to be more like it says in this poem. Like, remember I told you a number of times, I mentioned that I heard, when we were growing up, many of us were meshuggah with the music of Simon and Garfunkel. I still am. I just don't listen to it anymore. But when you're meshuggah with Saturn, I go, first of all, they're doing Yidden. And they look so Jewish, too. And they lived in Kew Garden Hills, which is right around the corner from where we lived. And you know, we were very, very... The music was like it captured a certain ruach at that time of the 60s. It was very much in that whole ruach. And very, very, many of the chavruta, we were in this call. A lot of people, you know, like the... There were those that weren't for the Beatles, but those were always considered to be like the, from the, you know, the lower madrega. But the ones who considered themselves to be more sensitive, and so on, they were the Simon Gaffer. So, around 30 years ago, I remember I heard an interview on the radio with Paul Simon. I mentioned this last year once. There were some guy that teaches poetry in Colombia interviewed Paul Simon. Now, Paul Simon's a brilliant guy. Very, very creative and original person, and this professor from Columbia like was enamored. You know, he got this interview with Paul Simon. He was like going out of his kalem. You could hear like he was trembling. This is like his god. You understand, Paul Simon. And this guy starts to say a whole drasha about one of Paul Simon's songs, like how he interpreted, how he taught this song in his class in Columbia, and how he interpreted it and so on. I guess he wanted to get haskama that he was onto the path of truth. Of what this song meant. So Paul Simon says, wow, that was really nice. He says, but the truth is, I was just thinking about my girlfriend when I wrote it. That's what he said. That's the truth. I was just thinking about my girlfriend. He says, it was really nice. I don't know what you're talking about. That's you. That's your Indian, what you have. You read your Indian into my song. I was just talking about my girlfriend. This wasn't like a... Wasn't that Indian at all? How do you explain this? You can't explain this chiluk to a person. Of course you could be inspired, but you could be inspired when you look outside and you see a child and you see how innocent the child is and you say, oh yeah, I want to regain my innocence. Of course. It's a symbol of innocence. A child is a symbol of innocence. Like Karzal said, it's two different things. Sorry, we'll have to continue with Shem. We'll continue next week.